Author of the Week with Alex Lefchuk, and of course, another sensationally talented purveyor of perfect prose.
But who's the author?
Let's find out.
It was March 2022 when we first found out about the awesome world of Teddy. Yes, Teddy, the kitten and cat, who of course had no ears because he lost his ears due to frostbite. Of course, he was adopted. He moved in. We found out how he was microchipped. We found out how he was a little bit stressed by the music of Encanto. We had a whole variety of other things as well. But we're delighted to actually say welcome back to the creator of Teddy, of course, and also the custodian in many ways of Teddy. She who basically Teddy has chosen to actually look after him, Ace, creator of Teddy. And I wonder, has she actually started managing to get her Teddy socks and scarves and things sorted out we spoke of? But it's Christine Milkovic Krauss. How are you, Christine?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for that intro. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you back on the program. As I say, I can hardly believe that it's a whole Canadian year since we last actually featured yourself and Teddy on the program. But here we are. Time has changed. And you said, of course, you created Teddy in the midst of the pandemic because it was an opportunity to actually get creative and work through the whole process there. There may be one or two people who, even though they might have caught part of my introduction there, might be a little bit confused about who is Teddy. And I realize that, but you've got to appreciate we're on a different continent here. Teddy will have probably be already in the midst of it. He's conquered Canada, should be conquering North America. But in terms of Europe, we're still expanding on that side of things there. So would you like to just provide a little précis of the story of Teddy so far?
Yes, so Teddy is my real-life rescue cat who was found in a barn in central Canada in negative 50-degree weather, almost frozen to death. And Teddy was rescued by a cowboy and brought to a shelter where Teddy then suffered injuries from frostbite, one of them being he lost his ears, his inability now to purr, and his tail is shorter, and he had, some frostbite on his paws as well when I got him. But Teddy is now acclimated to the Canadian West Coast weather where we get all four seasons, and he's happy to stay inside and cuddle up and snuggle on my lap in those winter months. But he's very active outdoors in the summer right now.
We'll just hold it there because the question I have to go for straight away is, does he still like his spaghetti?
Teddy loves spaghetti, yes. Actually, any kind of pasta. I'm learning it could be macaroni and cheese or tortellini. Loves it.
Excellent. Now, so the whole Teddy series continues to grow and expand. The notion of Teddy getting adopted and working through that whole process, being the third book in the series. How has that been going since we last spoke, etc.? Because in the words of Jenna Green, adorable Teddy will gain your heart with his poignant tale of adventure and loss.
Yeah, it's been going really, really well. We have one more book left in the series that I'm endeavoring to have out before Christmas this year, and that will complete my original four-book series. Of course, there's many, many more stories in my head that may come later, but this was my goal. So Teddy Loses His Ears is the introduction story, so people can get to know and fall in love with Teddy as a lovable character, and he really connects with children about his feelings and that sort of thing, about his disability and fielding questions from his pal. And then Teddy Loves Spaghetti is, again, another true story of my cat who loves pasta, but it's more about nutrition and an introduction to diabetes and things that you can look for in your pets that show they may be sick. And it also kind of introduces children to friends in their community who may have diabetes and what those little arm monitors look like on them and what you can and cannot feed them, reading nutrition labels for yourself and for your pets. And then in the third series called Teddy Gets Adopted, We talk about Teddy's actual journey to me, like from childhood to arriving at our in our home and getting adopted. So it has a geographical component about Teddy's journey across Canada, and yeah, it just more highlights the helpers and the heroes along the way that helped save Teddy's life.
I mean, the key thing that you mentioned there is it really talks about Teddy as being a tool to actually express teaching and so on. And I noticed you've got obviously illustrators as ever by Sierra Van Nace. Hopefully, we've got the spelling right there. Oh, a full-time nursing student. So, do you think that actually, from a healthcare point of view and a mental healthcare in particular, Teddy is proving to be really useful in terms of actually people who might sort of feel as though they're going through trauma, they might have had loss, they might have had physical challenges that they've been faced with, etc. But somehow there's an inspiration that obviously the real life character of Teddy, and then as manifested through your own authorship, can actually really help with.
I do think that, I mean, animals are great for mental health and therapy, and I really feel like children can connect with Teddy as a lovable character, and they just help assimilate the stories because it really relates to themselves and their feelings and things that they're experiencing. And the stories, yeah, they all have a learning component in them as well. So I do feel like it's special.
Now, what I didn't realize, of course, is that each illustration that's put in the book actually has a favorite Teddy toy hidden on every page. Can you tell us a bit about Teddy's favorite toys? Because I mean, we know about obviously cats and balls of string, and they like to have their own particular aspect, etc. But does he have it? Does he get territorial? Does he actually have, say, no, this is my particular soft toy, and mine alone?
Yeah, so Teddy has this thing called a fat mouse, and it's just a stuffed mouse. And for an adult cat, Teddy is really very playful. He will grab that mouse and toss it in the air and then bat it around, and he gets the zoomies still for an adult cat. It's really cute. Yeah, so Teddy's stuffed mouse is hidden on every page of every story for children to have a seek and find kind of component. So it just adds a little element of fun for the kids.
So genuine interactivity. Now, we know you've obviously got a website, which is cmkauthor.wixsite.com. You can actually just go to Christine Milkovic-Kraus.com and it'll take you there. What about the other forms of media? I mean, I'm thinking really, since we last spoke, Christine, any sign of a TikTok video for Teddy?
Oh gosh, yeah. See, I am not very tech savvy, but my children are, and my daughter has started doing with her Roblox characters, posting TikTok videos and dance moves and things like that. So I keep encouraging them, hey, you have an opportunity here to use your celebrity cat, and people love cat videos. So maybe we could create a TikTok video of Teddy, like a compilation of all the pastas Teddy eats, or or just having the zoomies, playing with the mouse, and just generally being social. Teddy's always around all the neighborhood kids. People knock on the door. We have so many Ring Cam videos of people stopping and getting on our front porch and petting Teddy. Everyone knows this cat. So we don't have any other media for the cat yet, but it's definitely a direction I'd love to go.
Yeah, I was thinking, obviously, you mentioned YouTube there. I mean, clearly highly popular on YouTube. I wasn't sure whether YouTube was passe now. It will go to TikTok. But surely there's got to be a place for Teddy's own YouTube channel. And I presume he does have his own Instagram account.
So Teddy has his own Facebook page, but I haven't started with the Instagram account yet, but absolutely, I think these are amazing ideas, and there's so many steps to get your books on shelves and in the market, and all these appearances on radio programs. So I'm a little slow because I do have a full-time job and two children at home, and I'm building a house, and I have another business. So all of these things take up time, but these are great ideas and suggestions, and I should dive into that world of TikTok and Instagram for Teddy for sure.
Okay, well, you said that he's got his Facebook page. What, pray tell, Christina, is his Facebook handle? How can we actually find Teddy on Facebook?
So you can find him under The Adventures of Teddy. And this is where I post all of my interviews and book release updates, maybe reviews, and then also a lot of cat memes and pictures of Teddy at home with the kids, and yeah, just chilling out on a Saturday night.
And is that Teddy, of course, TEDDI, or do you have
A
a Y
Y.
in it? It has a Y.
Yes.
So
The
the
Adventures of Teddy.
okay, The Adventures of Teddy. Well, we're waiting for the magic to come through now, and we've got Teddy likes to wander around the bar at American Legion in Macon Park. I don't think that's it. We've got The Adventures of Tommy the Teddy. Nothing to do with that at all.
That's definitely not Teddy.
No, I perhaps should we try it with the I and see if that actually comes through? We've got The Adventures of Teddy is in Gibraltar. I don't think that's the same one that's actually there because that's a different teddy bear. We're obviously doing a bit of research live on the whole sort of piece here. So let me say, so The Adventures of Teddy and presumably separate words from that point of view. Let's see if that comes through in terms of The Adventures of Teddy. And we have The Adventures of Teddy here with an I. No, this is obviously a testing thing to locate Teddy. Teddy's gone missing from
Oh, you know
Facebook.
what? Because
No.
it's probably suggesting the things that are closest to you, and we're across the ways a bit, so.
That might well be the case, but I'm still shocked that we're sort of not able to let me just I'll go to see all and see the whole sort of system that's coming through within this. I realize this is gripping radio, but at the same time, it's important because actually finding Teddy on Facebook is there. So we've got The Amazing Adventures of Teddy. No, The Great Dapple Adventures of Louis, The Adventures of Teddy and Friends, The Adventures of Poppy and Teddy. The Adventures of Teddy the Yorkie. I mean, if nothing else, it's wonderful for seeing how many actual adventures of Teddy there actually are out there, which is
Wow, I had
astounding.
no idea because here he's the only one. But speaking of the Adventures of Teddy and maybe somebody else, we have recently acquired a new pet in our home. We went to a reptile expo, and the kids convinced me to get a python.
Right.
So,
Okay. So
Peanut the
these are the same
Python.
children who were bored with mice, bored with hamsters,
Yes.
etc. You got a cat, and now you got pie. I mean, I see a sort of step upwards here in terms of where they're going. Will they come back next with a case of "We'd like to have a tiger, please"?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, they've been asking me for a wolf for years now. That's my daughter's favorite pet, is a wolf. So I don't know that we can do that. But she has also asked me for a stuffed tiger. On Amazon, there's this like $100 stuffed tiger. It's like 7 feet long. And oh, we were at a carnival this weekend, and lo and behold, one of those carny games had the stuffed tiger hanging, and she made me spend like $40 trying to stand a bottle upright on a platform to win her this tiger. So yeah, it didn't quite work out.
Well, but okay, the python. I've got to ask again, how is Teddy going to react to the python? How is he reacting to the python?
So we leave the python mostly in the terrarium and aquarium, and I only bring the snake out when Teddy's outside because one time I had the snake around my neck and just chilling and sitting down, and then of course Teddy came inside, jumped on my lap, and when she saw the snake, she just like her eyes went as wide as saucers, and for about a week after that, she wouldn't sit on my husband's lap because he was wearing a belt, and they kept thinking it was a snake. And then I noticed Teddy just pussyfooting around the house and kind of acting a little bit freaked out. And I don't want Teddy to feel uncomfortable or nervous in the house. So yeah, we just don't take the snake out when Teddy is around anymore.
Yeah, no,
They're both
I would have thought so.
carnivores. They're both natural predators against each other. I think Teddy would hurt the snake more than the snake could hurt Teddy, but Teddy was pretty freaked out by it.
Yeah, I mean, so I've got to again, will there be Teddy and his Python adventures? Will that be coming through, or could that be seen as no, that's a step too far?
Yeah, I think it might. I don't think they're going to be friends. Teddy doesn't really like other animals of any sort, dogs, cats, kind of a loner. But I think maybe the Slithering Adventures of Python could be a Peanut the Python could be a way to go in the future, and just educate people more about snakes and and how interesting and cool they really are.
Well, I'm fine.
A
I'm
lot of
pleased.
people have a fear of snakes. So lately, I've been bringing the snake for show and tell to my children's classrooms at school, and the kids are really interested in it. And I think that's where you kind of combat that fear. When I was in kindergarten back in 1981, our class pet was like an 8 foot long boa constrictor, and all the kids would sit in the circle, and once a week the snake would get let out and it would be in the circle and it would slither to whoever it wanted. And I think that's why I have no fear of snakes. I think they're extremely interesting.
Yeah, of course, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, with his immortalized line, "I hate snakes," clearly didn't they actually wasn't the case of good public relations for the snake population. And you could actually go back even to early biblical times that snakes haven't really done that well from that point of view. Of course, the good news, Christine, is you don't have to worry about snakes actually having ears lost due to frostbite, because if it was that cold, they just actually hibernate from that point of view.
That is so true. But
You
just,
mentioned.
sorry, go ahead.
No, carry on.
I'm trying to get Peanut on camera eating. I find that so interesting. They eat a diet of thawed frozen rats. And so I'll put the rat out, and Peanut only eats at nighttime. And I haven't seen her do that yet. So I tried to set up a video camera, and I saw, I only caught her sizing up the meal and then opening her jaws really wide to see if it would fit. And then that's it. She went away, and then I ran out of space on my phone, and I was in bed sleeping. So that's all I got. But it was pretty cool. I'm hoping next time. They don't eat very much, only once or twice a month. So not a lot of opportunities.
You call, of course, and you've named the python Peanut, which is good, because at least you didn't call it Monty, because that's already been done and taken. So, you know.
I love it.
But in terms of Peanut the python, as we said, do you feel as though, again, in terms of caring for a python, because it's something that, you know, it tends to be a specialized taste. I mean, when we spoke last, obviously adopting cats, adopting dogs, these are kind of standard go-to things. I don't think that many people would actually adopt snakes as well from that point of view, or indeed pythons. So is that a part of the educational process? And what is the reptile industry like in Canada?
It's actually very popular. Pythons and bearded dragons make amazing pets if you're willing with a python to put in a 30 to 35 year commitment, because that is how long they live. And we got Peanut when she was only 6 months old. But a very low maintenance pet, extremely low maintenance. You just have to give them lots of places to hide, enough space in the terrarium, a deep water dish so they can have baths and keep the humidity at a certain level. And really, you don't even need any fancy lights or anything for the snake. As long as you just have a heating pad underneath the terrarium, the snake can choose to be warm or choose to cool off in other areas. You just got to keep the temperature around 80 to 90 degrees. And they're very happy. They only eat, like I said, once or twice a month. They don't want you to handle them until after they've expelled like the bones and the fur of whatever their meal was. That usually happens a week later, and then you just clean it up, and that's it. Then they're good to go. They're very clean and soft, and just really cool to watch. Super low maintenance.
You're a full-time essential services worker. We know you're a mother of two children as well. You're an author from that point of view. How do you fit all the things in? What's the secret to your strategizing and time management, Christine?
Oh, I don't even know. Honestly, I don't know how I do it. But thankfully, my job, I'm not working shift work anymore. So I work Monday to Friday, 7 to 3, in law enforcement. I have a very interesting job. I love it so much. And I have wonderful teammates and partners, so I feel happy throughout the day. So I'm not miserable. I don't take the stress home with me, so I carry that home to my children. I get off in time to, go pick them up from school and spend the majority of the day with them. And yeah, when it comes to writing, I tend to wake up a lot of the time at 3 in the morning or just really early and have my coffee when the family's still sleeping, and I'll take a few moments to jot down ideas and reread them. So I don't know, you create time for yourself, I find, and you prioritize things that, you want to.
Very impressed to see on your website, of course, you have not one, but four free coloring pages of Teddy in various states of eating spaghetti, basically setting off home, losing his ears, and so on. And of course, getting tangled up in the Christmas decorations. Was that interactivity something, again, I know we spoke about this in terms of different transmedia approaches, something that you're keen to develop? And will we be seeing similar things for Peanut the Python?
Well, I'm not sure about Peanut the Python yet. I do feel like there's a story there. It has yet to reveal itself to me. But yeah, absolutely. I feel like everything should be interactive. I mean, from the fact that it's a true story, and then it highlights the work of the rescue organizations, teaches children how they can be a helper in their own community. They can just really connect with Teddy, and there's multiple lessons to be learned in every story. So yeah, we love contributing back to the rescue organization and to the community, and yeah, it's all about meeting people and listening to their stories, and hopefully they're open to listening to Teddy's. So absolutely.
Well, I've already been seeing the praises on the website, but I must admit, I'm a little bit sad, Christine, that when I went to the news and reviews and interviews section, I see a whole range of interviews that you've done with, on YouTube with respect to Teddy loses his ears. We've got the Douglas Coleman show. We've got King Connections, etc. No sign whatsoever of a link to our March 22nd, 2022 interview. I thought, was it something I said? Was it just a case you just cut the thing off
And
completely?
no, I actually reached out to my publicist and asked if I could get a link to your show, and I thought it was on there, but please email me the link to this show after, and the last one if you have it, so I can add them to the
I
website,
will put
please.
them both up there so obviously people can actually check that I'm not asking the same questions because it is very important to actually show that level of progression. We did speak about the pandemic on your first show because obviously we'd just come out of it then. Now, although COVID is still with us, the World Health Organization has downgraded the challenge. It's no longer the care. Is it more challenging now to manage your time, given that you've got all the other things going, or is it a case of, well, it's the same as it ever was, it's just the focus is in different areas?
Yeah, it's actually the pandemic for me was a bit of a blessing, obviously, because we got a pet and a family pet, and we started incorporating some of these things into our life. But also, prior to that, we had our children in daycare, and it was dropping them off at daycare and then picking them up after. And when school shut down and the daycare shut down, we were constantly pivoting and trying to figure out plan B, plan C, plan D, because, one child would get sick and they wouldn't be allowed at daycare, and they were in two separate daycares completely based on age. And it was just a lot of juggling. And so the pandemic allowed my husband to work from home. So he is able to drop the kids off at school, and I'm able to pick them up, and he can continue to work from home while I care for the children. And I actually feel like not only are we saving money, but we have more time together as a family.
Well, as long as it's panning out, that's the important thing,
It
because
is.
it is critical. So, we spoke about music last time, and I think the general feeling was that Encanto was the soundtrack to the Krauss household, that everything was basically being sung to the tune of Encanto, and Encanto was very much the Disney line that was going through it. Has that progressed? I mean, a year later, are you still
Oh,
listening to
yes.
Encanto, or have you moved on?
But they have moved on. Now they like to listen to that Jack Black rendition of Peaches from Super Mario Brothers, the
Interesting.
movie. They love
Yeah.
that. And yeah, they like a lot of Shawn Mendes, Ava Max, Taylor Swift. So they've moved on to like less Disney music and more mainstream.
Yeah, Taylor Swift, of course, could be a dangerous road to go down before you know where they have it. They'll be going to the big concerts and all the rest of the bits and pieces. But still, so it goes. Let's talk advice. I mean, you obviously you've had huge success so far, and it's still growing with respect to Teddy, and that's fantastic. What advice would you give to somebody who's maybe thinking about writing a children's book, is listening to this piece, and they really don't quite know where to start? What would be your own perspective on that? Is it a case of, well, just pick up that word processor and start typing, pick up the pen and start writing, pick up the drawing instrument, etc.? How would they actually make those first steps?
Yeah, I could only speak for what my process was. And fortunately, it all started with a title. The cat was eating the pasta. And I'm like, oh my God, Teddy loves spaghetti. And I'm like, oh, that would be such a great name for a storybook. And then I started thinking, okay, well, I can't start there. I need to do this in chronological order. So let's introduce Teddy. Teddy has such an interesting story. I think we can, this is such a preventable injury. And I, you know, started realizing how it wasn't unique at all. It's actually a very common thing that happens to animals. And I'm like, okay, what can we do to help? And then how can we help the rescue organizations and continue to help them? But yeah, so when it came to the writing, I just had my notepad on my phone. And anytime I would get an idea, I would just kind of jot it down. And then I literally just sat there and said, how do I want to incorporate these lessons? And where do I want to go with the stories? And I want it to have multiple lessons and be meaningful and connect with people. And then I was fortunate enough to find an illustrator. It was just meant to be with us, and she completely captured my vision. And then from there, I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but now I tend to have more control over everything instead of reaching out for, like, I would, of course, it would be my dream to have a publisher, a big publishing company, call me and say, oh, we want to pick up your series and fund you to write more books and that sort of thing. But paying for a publishing company is a waste of money, and they make it extremely hard for you to earn any money to donate back to the rescue or whatever your cause is, or even just to help yourself with a living. So Amazon is a great platform, Ingram Spark, all of these distribution companies. If you have any sort of technology experience, you should be able to get through it step by step. It is really basic. If I can do it, because like I told you, I'm not great with technology in any way, shape, or form. So if I can do it, anyone can honestly do it. It just takes some time, and there's a lot of steps to go through. So if you're patient, you can do anything.
Well, again, sage words, as we knew there would be. I'm still actually scrolling through the enormous numbers of Adventures of Teddy. Haven't located anything about Teddy the cat at all. The closest I've actually come was indeed The Adventures of Teddy Who Likes to Wander Around the Bar and American Legion in Maple Park. But never mind. That's a different line entirely. But it does feature, and again, it features a teddy bear. So in terms of a teddy who is a feline creature, who knows? But never mind. Maybe Mark Zuckerberg has decided to actually take him down. I mean, there's been no sign that Teddy's been offering any offensive content, surely. I mean, in any way, shape, or form. No, exactly.
Of course not. Well, we're going to have to send you a friend request, because we actually have thousands of friends on the Adventures of Teddy Facebook worldwide. So I'm surprised.
Well, I look forward to receiving, because I had intended to live during this interview officially like and accept the sort of thing. But tragically, that has failed. You know, maybe I just haven't been able to multitask. It's probably just being a male. What the heck?
Well, Christine, what are you on Facebook? I will add you right now.
You can reach me basically as Alex Leftchuk. That's basically it. I think that's the key thing, if people would like to. Or you can go to Southside Broadcasting. Either of those two will actually get me from that particular perspective. So there
How
we
do
are.
You spell your last name, Alex?
As in Lewczuk. It's kind of on the screen at present, I think. You probably sort of see it in the lower part of the actual screen, given this is
actually. Oh, I actually do, yes.
There you
Teddy
go.
Has just sent you a Facebook friend request.
Well, there you go. I look forward to receiving it. But it's brought us neatly round to the last two questions. Before we actually go to consider some inspirational activities with the Guinness Book of Records and a mentor program that the Guinness Book of Records has actually introduced to apply for, Teddy would be able to apply if he were human, but he's not, so he can't. So we'll just have to hold on that. So the last two questions that we need to ask you are, firstly, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer on this, your return to the Midweek Drive Live Author of the Week package?
Sorry, what was that question? Have I had a...
Has it been okay for you, the last interview? Has it been reasonable? Has it been something which you thought was okay in general?
With you, this is amazing. You always ask great questions, and you summarize, and you really you look back at our other interviews, and you remembered a lot about Teddy, and that is all very meaningful and important to me. So I really appreciate the effort that you put in.
Well,
Yeah, I love meeting with you.
excellent. So the next critical question is, can we look forward to welcoming you again? Will you come back together with Teddy and possibly Peanuts, though not in the same room, obviously. But will you come back and regale us of more of your creative works?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always honored to be a guest on your show. And there's definitely more books coming that we can talk about and share with the listeners. So 100%.
Christina Milkovic Kraus, huge thanks. And remember, of course, Teddy Gets Adopted is available now together with Teddy Likes Spaghetti, all of those Teddy books, etc. You can find them. And I'd certainly recommend that you actually go to the your Christina's website, which, as we said, is christinamilkovickkraus.com. Oh, no, it's just christinemilkovic.com. There we are. It's been one of those challenging times where we've actually tried to sort of juggle with internets and various other bits and pieces. But as I said, and I closed the last interview with, so we'll wrap up with this. My message to Teddy is quite simply, meow meow.
Love it.
I think it was Fry Height who actually had a hit back in the day with Keeping the Dream Alive, but it seems many of us actually don't, and we just allow our previous aspirations and ambitions to just effectively decompose generally. Traveling the world, running your own business, helping other people through their work, becoming a footballer, working in the medical profession, all dreams that British folk had when they were younger, which maybe they've put to one side. Well, no more, hopefully, after the next few moments. We'll hopefully prove that that is not the case, and we can actually get together with the Guinness World Record people to actually work through that. Because there is another route forward. And to actually talk us through that and prove that you can certainly be hugely inspiring, we're delighted to welcome a Guinness World Record holder and deemed the person who actually holds the longest distance rowed solo by an amputee. And in case you're wondering what that was basically 3,162 nautical miles across the Atlantic. It's the awesomely talented Lee Spencer. How are you, Lee?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, great, and great to speak to your good self. Now, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, Lee, you're an inspiration, many a time. But I mean, you were a former Royal Marine, but then you lost your right leg in a road traffic accident. I mean, were there any moments there? Well, there must have been moments where you thought, right, okay, I've done this. Now I'm going to row across the Atlantic.
yeah, well, it didn't quite happen like that. It was more an opportunity. I got and I answered an email. Shortly after losing my leg, where they were looking for volunteers to put together the first all amputee crew to row any ocean. And I answered that, went through a selection process, and ended up rowing the Atlantic and rowing directly into the Guinness World Record books. So that was my first world record. And then I thought, well, I enjoyed that so much, why don't I do it solo?
As you do. Okay, now let's tie that in with, obviously, the Guinness World Records. They've launched their first ever mentor scheme, which is designed to help inspire the next generation and indeed support them in achieving their goals so that we don't effectively sort of give up on those dreams that we actually had when we were an adolescent or a teenager, certainly between 11 and 18. So share with us, Lee. How did you get involved with this? Was it just a case of, well, it's a no-brainer? Obviously, I'm going to be involved. When you've rowed across the Atlantic, everything else is a piece of cake.
Yeah, quite not quite like that. It's actually a real privilege being asked, and it's something I feel passionate about, and I speak in schools, state schools, quite a lot about the importance of not giving up on your dream, and I think that's the key. You mentioned earlier in your introduction, and I think 60% of adults have given up on their ambitions. And I like myself, I really struggled as a kid. I was rubbish at everything, and I struggled to find my place in the world. And my ambition was to be a Royal Marine. And I eventually got there after quite a few knockbacks, being told at 13 that I wasn't what they were looking for at a careers fair, and also at 18 in the careers office. But the thing that got me to be, you know, realise my dream at the time was to not give up on it and to keep hold of your dream. I think that's so important.
And that's such a critical aspect that we come across time and time again from people who have made it, that the notion of, oh, it's an overnight success, that's rarely the case. And actually, it is a case of you have to deal with the knockbacks, the setbacks, the challenges, the hurdles that life sets in store to actually ensure that the victory is all the sweeter, really, in many ways. Let's go back to this Guinness World Records mentor scheme and so on. I mean, clearly, it's going to be a wonderful way of providing that. I gather that applicants for this particular scheme have basically got until, close of play on Monday the 19th of June to actually find out further details of how they can get involved with this. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So they'll fill out a form and then they'll be chosen at random, I believe, and put forward, and then we'll get the chance to mentor them, which is, again, as I said, it's a huge privilege.
And in terms of that, I mean, I'm thinking when you say the word mentor, is it a bit like Obi-Wan Kenobi with Luke Skywalker, where you're the Padawan and he is the, or she is the apprentice from that point of view? Or is it a case of you'll be sharing your own experiences and indeed just basically, you know, being a shoulder to lean on when times might seem a bit challenging?
Yeah, I'm another statistic that came out of the research that Guinness World Records put out was that 80% of adults didn't have a mentor or someone to look up to when they were growing up. And that was exactly the same for me. And you were saying about business people and people who have succeeded, they keep saying dealing with the knockbacks and not giving up. Well, that's really easy if you believe in yourself. But if you don't believe in yourself, which, you know, I'd say quite a lot of us didn't and don't, then that's quite a hard thing to do. It's quite a hard thing to keep going when you don't believe in yourself. And that's the beauty of not giving up on the dream. Is a dream, you don't have to believe that a dream will come true. It's just keeping hold of that little spark that sits there and not allowing that to go out. That's the important thing. And being able to share that it's brilliant. I keep saying the word privilege, but it is a huge privilege.
Rowing across the Atlantic, as we said, 3,162 nautical miles, taking you 60 days, 16 hours and 6 minutes. Were there moments there when you were actually doing that where you thought, what the flip am I doing?
Yeah, the last 2 weeks was particularly hard. I set out to beat an able-bodied record with one leg. Mm. And as I was closing in on that record, it was really, really difficult. The last 2 weeks were particularly awful. But you keep going. And the lessons and the discipline that I learned in the Royal Marines and that belief that you can push yourself further than what you think is possible, I learned that in the Marines. Mm-hmm. That kept me going. And the reason I learned that in the Marines is because I never lost that dream of joining them, even when I was told twice, you're not what we're looking for.
Yeah, brings us full circle. So you've rowed east to west. Are you intending to go west to east in the near future?
No, I'm not, but I'm actually currently putting together another row after saying if I ever see another rowing boat in my life, it'll be too soon. I've had my interest sparked again with the prospect of putting together a joint crew of two Ukrainian wounded servicemen and two Brits, me and one other, and rowing across to try and draw attention to the human cost of what's going on in the Ukraine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know one of our presenters is regularly involved with humanitarian aid over there. That's Kathy Manso, and you speak very much about the things that's going on from that. Okay, let's wrap the thing up in terms of context from that point of view. GuinnessWorldRecords.com/news/press, and then the mentor scheme will take you through all the details of that. People might not be lucky enough to get you good self as a mentor, Lee. There are other mentors around, presumably, as well. So will you try, will Guinness effectively match the mentor with the mentee effectively?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm hugely privileged, and again, that same word, to be part of an absolutely astonishing team. I mean, you've got someone who lifted heavyweights the most on a unicycle, which is absolutely bonkers. You've got the most magic tricks underwater. How do you do one magic trick underwater, let alone however many they've done?
It is pretty impressive, I have to say. Martin Rees completed 20 magic tricks while submerged in a tank of water. Jesse Dufton, of course, first blind person to lead a climb of the Old Man of Hoy. And indeed, the heaviest single weight lifted by a barbell overhead press while riding on a unicycle. I'm not going to start on any one of those. It would just be crazy from that point of view. Not forget, I suppose, the challenge, really, Victoria Evans actually put forward as the fastest female solo row across the Atlantic on the Tradewinds route. So it must be something about rowing the Atlantic. It used to be swimming the Channel. Now it's rowing the Atlantic. I don't know. Perhaps it's something in the water. No pun intended. You've used this word several times. We will say we've been privileged today to actually listen to yourself and be inspired by yourself, Lee Spencer. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme?
Sorry, could you say that again?
Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer on the programme? Has it been good for you?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
That's okay. Well, in which case, maybe we can look forward to connecting with you again in the near future and chat more about how you're inspiring people to keep their dreams alive, and certainly the youngsters in association with the Guinness Book of Records.
Well, thank you. Cheers.
Okay, so we are approaching midsummer. We are heading into a whole variety of wonderful things, and we want to feel good despite all the challenges that are actually around. Why then is it that Activia have just shown in a recent set of research that a third of us feel fatigued due to basically having poor gut health? This adds up with sleeping struggles, easily irritable individuals. Not good. So how do we actually translate that whole notion of good health for our gut health? Well, probably the best person to speak to with respect to this is that ace medic extraordinaire. It's Dr. Zoe Williams. How are you, Zoe?
Oh, thanks, Alex. Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm good, and I like to think that's because obviously one thinks very carefully about what one puts into the esophagus, the ileum, the duodenum, all those medical things that form part of the gut.
Yes, absolutely right, absolutely right. It's some really interesting research that's come from Activia Yogurts, and it's all about this concept of a summer-ready body, which is what people are starting to think about at the moment. Their research has found that 38% of people put more emphasis on their appearance during summertime than other months, but also that one in five people, 20%, prioritise their looks over their health. So what they're actually doing is they're challenging people to think differently about this phrase, a summer ready body. And their research found that over half of people think of summer ready meaning looking better on the outside. Nearly half of people think about losing weight. But their challenge is, if we think about a summer ready body as in being ready on the inside by focusing on our gut health and finding ways to improve our gut health, then actually, with that, we can be healthier. It can help us to feel better psychologically. It can help support our immune system. But also, the chances are you probably will end up looking better on the outside as well. So it's kind of a win-win approach with a much more healthy mindset.
And that is so critical to the whole experience, because inevitably there's a temptation to say, oh, I need to have a six pack. I need to go on a crash diet and so on. No, that's the worst thing you can do, I would have thought.
Well, it doesn't translate to health, does it? I think we've kind of, over the decades, we've correlated this image of a six pack with good health, or, you know, we've overvalued smaller bodies as being healthy. Whereas actually, when it comes to our health is made up of so many different factors. You know, body size and shape is just one part of it. It's about how much exercise we do. It's how well we sleep, the quality and quantity of our sleep. It's about how stressed we are. And, you know, actually stress, I think, is one of the biggest health issues that a lot of us are facing at the moment. It's about how hydrated we are. And when it comes to food and diet, it's actually much healthier to focus on nourishing our bodies, to sort of take a positive outlook and think, well, actually, how can we improve the quality of our diet? How can we give our body what it needs and deserves, rather than that mindset of, right, well, what do I need to stop eating and cut out in order to be thinner? So the challenge is thinking about, if we focus on our gut health, which I think is a really good place to start, thinking about taking some small steps to improve our gut health, well, we can reap the rewards of that through our health, but actually potentially through the way we look as well.
And clearly that whole importance of healthy mind, healthy body is to the fore here. We know there are an awful lot of stresses and strains in the world, whether it be personal, whether it be international, and so on. But presumably the old maxim that we've said time and time again, if you just take on board sugared water into your top line automobile, it's going to break down. You need to think very carefully about the nutrition that you're putting into your gut.
Yeah. So, and I think we can break gut health down in terms of the things that we can do and the approaches we can take to positively impact our gut health. You spoke about it's what we put into our body, and that is a really important part of it. So thinking about trying to have more fibre in our diet, because most of us don't manage to meet the recommended amount of 30 grams a day of fibre. Also, it's really important to try and increase the diversity of different types of plant foods that we eat. So it's not about, you know, eliminating meat or dairy things. It's about the plants that we do eat, trying to eat a broader range of them. And we're told now we should be aiming to consume 30 different types of plant species each week. So that includes fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, whole grains. And it sounds like a lot, but if you chuck in a tin of mixed beans into one meal, you chuck in a bag of stir fry mix into another meal, you snack on some mixed nuts rather than just nuts, and maybe sprinkled a bit of mixed dried fruit on your cereal. If you do just those four things, you're probably about halfway there. So it is just about thinking, how can I make a few switches in my shopping trolley to really increase the diversity of plants that the family are eating? And then consider adding in some probiotics as well. So these are foods that are fermented, that contain live cultures, and things like yogurts, kombucha, kimchi, kefir, certain types of fermented cheeses. These can help support a healthy gut as well.
And of course, Activia produce a range of yogurts which serve part of that purpose. Almost the final question, Zoe, can nutritional supplements actually help? Because I'm conscious that selenium and magnesium in particular are very useful in terms of sometimes assisting sleep in those sort of areas. And maybe people are a little bit concerned that we can't possibly sort of get that amount of stuff from our processed foods. We need to have supplements.
Yeah, but I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Supplements can help if you're not getting enough from your diet. And if you are the sort of person who it does, you know, even though you maybe don't want to, you find it challenging. If you're somebody who does have a diet that's made up largely of highly processed foods, then it can be difficult to get enough nutrients. Whereas, you know, if somebody has a healthy, balanced diet, if you eat foods from all the various different food groups, you eat lots of different colourful plants, fruits and vegetables, and, you know, you eat some good protein sources, then you absolutely can get everything you need in the summer months, especially where you can also get some vitamin D if you spend 10 minutes in the peak hours of the day around lunchtime. That's the kind of dose of sunshine we need for vitamin D. So if you can get 10 minutes at lunchtime outside with your arms and your legs uncovered, that's about the right dose, and then slap on the sunscreen. So you can, if you have a healthy diet, you can get everything you need from your diet in the summer months. But if you are somebody who, for example, if you don't eat fish at all, it might be worth thinking about taking an omega-3 supplement. If you are vegan, then there are a bunch of supplements that you should probably consider taking, things like iron and vitamin B12 and even maybe iodine. Even people who don't have dairy, you know, there's a real interest in plant milks at the moment, and lots of people do that for ethical reasons. But we know purely from a nutritional perspective, dairy milk, cow's milk, is still the most nutritious type of milk. So really, when it comes to supplements, people need to make their own assessment of is their diet lacking? And if it is, it's worth trialing a supplement for a few months and see if it helps. But if it doesn't, then, you know, especially if it's an expensive one, maybe it's not worth taking long term. So things like magnesium, you know, as a supplement for people who are having poor sleep, it's definitely something you can try. You can put put magnesium in your bath. You can get those crystals and try taking it that way. Give it a try. But if it doesn't make a difference, you know, don't continue it is usually my advice.
As ever, a set of cogent and coherent and wonderful sets of advice there. Dr. Zoe Williams, delighted as ever to connect with your good self. Finally, how do people actually follow up with respect to the Yakult survey? Where can they find out further details and so on?
Yeah, so for more information about this and really some top tips on how to look after your body from the inside to get your body ready for summer, the Activia website has got some great resources on there. So that's done on activia.co.uk.
Yeah, I think we obviously want to make sure that it is Activia that we're looking for from that perspective. And I'll ignore the previous thing or do a slight edit. Anyway, for the moment, many thanks indeed, Dr. Zoe Williams, and stay healthy.
Thank you so much. And same to you, Alex.
As I've frequently said on this programme, those three little letters, DIY, can often leave people with a cold sweat or indeed a paralysis of activities. And it seems that actually this is borne out by a recent survey conducted by HomeServe, which suggests that 2/3 of us have incomplete DIY jobs in their home. Now, I must admit, I was quite pleased to know that I never leave changing a light bulb 58 days to go by, because obviously that'd be crazy. But when it comes to fixing holes in walls, regrouting, or indeed cleaning the gutter, I must admit I'm well into those high average number of days before fixing. How can we address this then? Well, we need to bring on board a true legend in every sense of the word, a sporting legend, a broadcasting legend, a DIY legend. It's Dion Dublin. How are you, Dion?
Now, that was some intro, by the way. Thank you very much. I am very well.
Well, it's always great to connect with a good self. But what is it about DIY that effectively you've managed to cope with? I mean, was it a case of, well, when I was playing for Coventry back in the day, I needed to have something to do on days off. So what the hey?
You know what? This particular campaign that HomeServe, they've done their research. They've found out a lot of information about us Brits, about what we do and what we don't do in the house in regards to DIY jobs and what we leave. And I think some of the research is great. And you mentioned there, leaving a light bulb to be changed 2 months. That's just ridiculous. I mean, what they've done really well, HomeServe, is they've created on their hub a little page which is called Halftime Help Hub. And on there, there's lots of little bits that can be done during a halftime break. That's why they've called it the Halftime Help Hub. 15-minute jobs you can get done. There's little videos, there's little explanations and tips and hints on there to help you finish the job you've started, or just get through the job that you want to do within 15 minutes, whether it's changing a fuse in a plug or unblocking a sink, something like that. Bleeding the radiators is one that people they say, well, it's a bit cold tonight. The heating's on, it's not working. Well, just get the key, open it up, take the air out, close it back up, and then the water can get within the radiator and warm your room up 15 minutes. You'll be back for the second half.
So why is it that we put off such simple tasks? I mean, Dion, you make it sound so easy. It's a bit like, you know, the magic of Pep Guardiola's team really working on the whole process. I can see that working.
Well, that's easy as well. All you have to do is apply yourself to what he wants you to do, and then you'll get it right. In regards to these jobs, I think a lot of the time people there might be a little bit of fear maybe with whether they can finish it or whether they want to finish it. How do you finish it? Sometimes people just don't know how to finish off what they've started, or they don't know how to approach the job that needs to be done. What's the starting point? How do we do it? What part do I use? What tools do I need? Where do I put it? All those kind of questions can be answered on the HomeServe Halftime Help Hub, and all the bits and bobs that you need to help you get those jobs done are there.
Is it all about confidence? I mean, I said at the start that sometimes, you know, the very thought of doing DIY can actually not just traumatize the person who's likely to be doing the DIY, but also their family and friends as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of it is confidence, you know, and it's whether you back yourself to do it right, and then you haven't got to do it again. Again, that's why, you know, I've teamed up with HomeServe. I think it's a great idea to try and help the nation get over the line.
So the halftime help hub, 15 minutes. Now, translating into radio talk, that's 900 seconds. That to me doesn't sound like a lot of time. I mean, we've already sort of spent around about 300 seconds just having a chat about this already. So, you know, we've only got 600 seconds left. How are we going to get these things sorted?
Well, the thing about it is, if you have a lot of people have the materials and the tools in the house in order to complete the job that they've already started or they need to do, you just need to apply the work ethic and the mindset in order to check the HomeServe hub, check the halftime help hub, know how to do it, take on the information, and then get it done within 15 minutes. You might do your research before the game and do the job at halftime. It's just a fun name to let people know that it can be done within 15 minutes if you've got everything you need to do the job. And you know, there's so much football on the TV that if there's four or five games in a week, you might be able to get four or five jobs done.
Wow. Well, I mean, this is intriguing material from that point of view. So basically, step aside from the expert analyses, step aside from those sort of challenges that are taking place there, and actually get out the tools and do the job. You know, this is the kind of motivation that would have got Norwich City promoted this season. You know, applied that, you know.
I wish I had the chance to be in that dressing room and talk to the players. I'd have got them motivated. By the way, I'm looking through the glass here. My engineer's an Ipswich fan, so I've got to be careful.
Well, you know, they're in the Championship, so success from that point of view. So we can see the Tractor Doctor Boys Derby being resumed from that point of view. So that's all good stuff there. And needless to say, as you may have gathered, I'm more concerned with a certain treble seeking side than a double seeking side as far as that's concerned. But you know, we just have to work there. Tragedy about Coventry City. I mean, I've never been a fan of Luton ever since David Pleat danced across Main Road all those years ago, but that's another issue entirely. So we just have to work through that. It's one of those issues one has. Dion, where can people go to find out further details about the halftime help hub?
All they have to do is go to the HomeServe hub and you'll see a little page there, halftime help hub, all the information you need to help you and advise you on getting those jobs done in the house. Those little DIY 15-minute jobs that you've been leaving, they can all be done. We'll give you some advice and there's lots of videos and hints and tips on that page. And you can also go, if you want to go on your socials, you can go to @HomeServe_UK, information there as well. If you need us, we're here.
Yeah, you see, and that is why you joined the wrong club in Manchester back in 1992, Dion. You should have been with the Main Road people.
It wasn't wrong back in 1992, let me tell you.
So it goes. Those of us who were there through that agony, etc., back in the day of the Holy Trinity of Francis Lee, Mike Somerby, and Colin Bell, still remember the pain we've been through in the intervening period. But anyway,
and therefore, if you were there then you deserve these times. Fair play to you.
Well, there you go, Dion Devlin. As ever, we salute you. Take care and happy DIYing.
Thank you very much. Back at you. Bye.